All right. How long have we waited for this?
It's time.
The buildup. The Four Nations face-off. NHL's best on best.
Yeah.
The league shut down for the start of what we hope is some great, fast, entertaining hockey. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick all with you for the fastest hour in hockey coming up. This is going to be a great show. It's a fast show, so don't blink. Don't leave. We got Chris Pronger coming up in a few minutes.
Yeah,
can you think of a better guest to start the 2025 Four Nations than Chris Pronger?
Triple gold club guy who also played in the 98 Olympics, the 02 Olympics, the 06 Olympics, the 2010 Olympics. The only Canadian to ever play in all or to play in four Olympics as a hockey player.
Also in about 35 minutes, Chris Cuthbert, of course, of Vancouver gold medal fame.
He called the golden goal.
Sidney Crosby.
And these games
what an honor.
Does he have any magic left in 2025 with Sid participating in this tournament as well? Okay. Sammy, we'll get you in. Don't worry, buddy.
I don't think anyone cares.
We're going to go to Hall of Famer, two-time Olympic gold medalist, Stanley Cup champion, of course, and suspended eight times in his National Hockey League career. Sorry, Prongs, I had to throw that in. How are you?
I'm great. That's a wonderful opening. Thank you.
Listen,
thank you for reminding me all the money I lost.
Well, you're safe tonight from suspensions. I can assure you of that. First of all, how you been? I know, and maybe we'll touch on this a little later, but you got a little bit of the circuit going. I catch your stuff on social media. I absolutely love it. The leadership, the mindfulness, the discipline. It must be like one of the easiest topics for you because you are so darn good at it.
That's through a lot of practice and a lot of failure and a lot of adversity in my own right. But I look at myself as a subject matter expert in a lot of the things I talk about because I've been through them time and time again, the ups and downs, as you know. It can be a little daunting at times, but I think when you break it down and we hear it all the time, we keep things simple and you just have to continually challenge yourself to be better. And, take a hard look in the mirror and make sure that you're doing what's necessary to achieve the goals that you're looking to be successful in.
So Prongs, let's lean on some of that experience. What would it be like joining a team like this and trying to get into harmony with all these other guys who've been leaders on other teams? Who has the loudest voice? Is there a hierarchy? How does that work on a team like this?
I think at the beginning, everybody's going to defer to Sid. He's the old wily veteran now.
Yes.
And, I think from there, I think a lot of times early on in these tournaments, the chemistry is a little bit off. Players tend to defer. They don't want to take that initiative and be the puck hog or be the guy shooting all the time or be... And they're constantly looking to pass the puck in the net. I think if you see them shooting early and often and you see them taking advantage of opportunities and not looking for the better scoring chance, potentially being there, you'll see that the chemistry is there and they've figured out the line combinations and the fit. Or you'll see them kind of mix and match and try some different combinations to see how it works. And, if they get up by a couple goals, you may see them switch it around just to see. If they're down by a couple goals, they may switch it too. I don't think in these first couple games, if things aren't clicking the way they potentially see them, they'll move guys around and try to find that right line combination. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're Canada in this situation, you're looking for game number four as the one you want to be the best in.
Chris, as we go into tonight's tournament, a lot of talk about what we can really expect out of these guys. And, the big question people want to know is, like, how intense will it be right off the bat? You've got your background.
I don't understand it, Nick. I don't understand why people think that.
Would you not be totally insulted by that?
This is not an all-star game. I don't know why people are referring to this as an All-Star game. Just because it is in the slotted area of where an All-Star game would be, this is a Canada Cup, this is a World Cup, this is a Four Nations face-off. These are the best players from these four countries playing for pride, playing for the right to win another championship, another award, whatever you want to call the Four Nations. But they're able to compete at the highest level against the best players of the respective three countries they're playing against. And I don't understand how people think that players aren't going to play hard. And they're not going to be worrying about their team back home. They're not going to be now that they're there, they're not going to worry about Edmonton or Pittsburgh or wherever. They're focused on Team Canada and winning and playing to the best of their abilities in the given minutes they get.
As far as style of play, you've got throughout your career, you had World Cups as well, right? And you had Olympics. The one that I always look back on that just I completely shake my head at how vicious it was 96, I believe, right?
Yeah, I didn't play in 96.
You didn't play in that one?
I got the Heisman in that one.
Oh, man.
Oh, really?
I think that was maybe the reason they took me in 96.
Like, if that happens again, we need this guy for sure.
Different era, different style of play, but, like, how can you compare anything from a World Cup to an Olympics? Is it just, it doesn't really matter besides if a rink is bigger or smaller, but is it the same completely?
No. It is different because the rules are different. You're playing under the NHL rules in this event, and obviously in the Olympics, you're playing under those rules. So if you want to fight in this, if you want to do as the rule book says for the NHL, you're allowed to. You're not going to get suspended. You're not going to get thrown out of the game. You're going to serve your 5 minutes, and you're going to come back. And so as you see, you know, especially the game on Saturday when they play the U.S., that's the marker, if you will. That's the one that they're working towards. I don't think they're going to overlook Sweden because they've got a very good team. But I think as they're trying to build towards that game to see not only where the U.S. is at, but where their game is at, you know, speaking of Canada. So it'll be interesting to see, but I suspect the temperature will get quite hot as we get further into the tournament. It's just a natural evolution of these types of tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, you play Canada-US in a scrimmage in practice, it gets hot by the end of it. I'm sure it's going to get there at some point. So,
let alone just being a Canadian playing against an American in practice for your respective team.
Yeah.
Pride kicks in, that competitive juices kick in, and you don't want to give an inch.
It does feel inevitable. So how do you feel? It's been 8 years since we've had any kind of our best guys against your best guys sort of thing. How do you feel about Canadian hockey and the state of it? And has our place in the hockey world changed since then?
I don't think it's changed. I think the other countries have caught up. Mm-hmm. I don't see us. I think we've lost our way with respect to our identity and how we play. And the style that has always worked for us. I'm looking at the U.S. roster thinking they're probably going to play a more physical brand of hockey than the Canadians will, just with their roster construction and the players that they have. That's not to say that Canada won't play hard and won't be physical, but just the name recognition for a lot of people watching will see these players and go and understand and remember how they play for their NHL club. And have an understanding of, he plays hard. And when I say that, it's more just from a physicality standpoint. Every player in this tournament is going to be hard on the puck. They're going to be dogged on loose pucks and in the corners, in front of the net, what have you, because it is such a short tournament and every game is so meaningful.
It just follow up on that, Kip. Is the physical play as relevant in a short tournament like this as the NHL?
Not in that regard, but if you're constantly grinding on a team, you know, for instance, Saturday against the U.S., if, you know, by all speculation, those teams meet in game number 4 for the championship, what happens in that game will carry over to the next game. And who was dominant and was, from a physical standpoint, from a goal standpoint, who won, who lost, all those things will play a factor in how a team, their mindset going into that game, or how they're feeling about themselves, you know, positive, negatively, et cetera, what they need to work on, the chemistry factor, all those things. Again, I always go back to, from a Canada perspective, a lot of these players have never played together, have never been on the ice together, maybe skating in the summer or fooling around, but for the most part, not at all. So when you're with the Americans, you play in the development program, you play on all these things, you typically live near one another. Sweden, Finland, same thing. They go back and they skate together. They have chemistry. They have that innate ability to understand where other players are going to be, and they don't have to think, they don't have to practice that stuff. A lot of these lines for Canada, this is the first time they'll have played together.
You're watching and listening to Chris Pronger, Hockey Hall of Famer, two-time Olympic gold medalist, Stanley Cup champion. So, Prongs, I've heard you use the word chemistry three times already since we've started this. Is there a way that you can speed up the process of chemistry? They've had a couple of days now together, whether it's dinners, who you're sitting beside, who you're rooming with. I think in 2010, if I'm not mistaken, you roomed with Drew Doughty.
I did. Yep.
Does that matter? I don't even know if they room together. Do they all get their own suites now?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be a good question. But I don't necessarily think it's that, you know, who you're rooming with. I think a lot of it is the locker room construction, as stupid as that sounds, who you're sitting beside, the conversations you have, making the younger, you know, potentially younger guys might be a little nervous, you know, coming into this magnitude of the event. You know, being around Sidney Crosby, being around McDavid, being around some of these guys that maybe they haven't been around. And as you go along, the reason why I say chemistry is in the years we won in 02 and 2010, our team struggled early on. We lost to Sweden in 02. We lost to the U.S. in 2010. And those losses helped us come together and figure out how we needed to play, recognize the mistakes that we were making, who wasn't bought in and needed to buy into the style of play that we wanted to go out and dominate with. And once that all came together, and as we had a couple more games under our belt, that final game culminated in our best effort. And you want to see that with this team. They may come out and be absolutely dominant and run the table, but they might not. And I don't think people should get panicked about a first game and looking a little awkward. As I mentioned earlier, they might defer. They might not feel comfortable feeling like they should shoot in a position where they normally would. And I think those are the conversations you have in practice. Those are the conversations you have in the locker room, the D goalie exchanges, those types of things. It takes a little bit of time to understand the verbiage that the goalie wants to hear, over, back, reverse, whatever it is. So there's all kinds of little things, the nuances of the game that take a little bit of time, but they can come pretty quickly. These guys are obviously world-class players and play at a high level.
What did you teach Drew Doughty back then? Because he's the elder statesman right now going into tonight.
Well, hopefully he wakes up early enough to catch the second bus. But I'm sure he'll be down there, you know, based on his injuries and his ankle. I'm sure he will be down there much earlier than normal to get that warmed up.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
Get any treatment that he needs.
Just like a goofball, huh? Just loves to play hockey.
That he does. He did not seem to really be too worried about it either. It's good to be young, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. So when you get in these events, many of the guys will be playing somewhat different structurally than their NHL teams do. Is that a hard thing to wrap your heads around? You kind of go back to thinking a little bit instead of just playing?
Yeah, I think it's more read and react, play the game the way you know how. You'll see guys that typically are on the power play, they're going to be forced into penalty killing roles. Mm-hmm. And you look back at whether it be the Canada Cup, the World Cup, Olympics, these high level best on best tournaments, players that have, you know, back then 100 points, you know, players that have 70, 80 points now, 90 points that are offensive weapons on their respective teams are forced into defensive roles and to go and kill penalties. And you'll see because of that, those are their prime minutes. Those are where they're going to get their most minutes. So they're out there giving it their all. They're blocking shots. They're doing what they can. But they have the wherewithal to jump on the attack and provide some offensive output while killing penalties. Mm-hmm.
How important is it, and you just touched on this a little earlier with the defense and the goalie, on who likes to handle the puck and leave it, play it. Like, yeah. How difficult can that be? Because you also went through a transition where you had some of the best puck handlers in the world in Marty Brodeur, but then Luongo ends up mopping it up, right, in 2010.
Louis's not exactly a Marty Brodeur with the puck.
No.
But you'll see Jordan Binnington is excellent with the puck. He gets out and plays it. He's very mobile back there. I see him being a big part of their puck retrievals and allowing his defense to get off into the corner, up to the hash mark, to break the puck out, get that transition game going, and get on the attack pretty quickly.
Is it last one for me? We appreciate your time. Just a thought on guys in trying to put their egos aside for the logo. Is it easy to do when you play for your country?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You look at the guys that did not make the team, the guys who potentially could have made the roster. All these guys are excited to be there. Just looking at, some of the quotes in the paper when they were deciding on the team. And, you look at Drew Doughty, he was, kind of throwing a petition out there because he wanted to be there so bad. So absolutely. And that you see what that means to the players, to be able to wear the maple leaf on the front of their chest and go out and represent their country. And you'll see them leave it all on the ice. I guarantee it.
Can't think of a better guest to launch this thing than you, my friend. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
That is Chris Pronger, one of the best in the game.
We didn't have him in the 96 WARA on the ice. Huh? That's too bad. Decapitated someone for us.
Yeah. I just remember being very, very vicious. Mm. And he's the first guy that I thought of. Yeah. But
he first wore the Maple Leaf in 93 for the World Junior team. And then, was on the 2010 team that won. So he had, almost 20 years as a representing the country. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So I was in Hartford when he got drafted by Brian Burke.
How was he as a young guy?
First of all, it was like he was a giant.
Yeah.
I think he's 6'6". Yeah. So you saw him, and once you stepped on the ice, you could see that you're used to 6'6 being awkward, mm-hmm. and tripping over your feet.
And was he not even young?
No. I mean, he had the body of an orange on a toothpick, but,
God, he took so many penalties.
He quickly developed physically, mentally, emotionally, and the guy just took over on every aspect of the game.
What was really hard, I think, it's like when, Prime Zdeno Chara, and Pronger was better, where it's like, who would you rather play? I would rather be on the ice against Donald Brashear or, any of those heavyweights than Pronger. Because Pronger's on the ice 30 minutes. He slashed and he whacked and he cross-checked and he scored and he did it all, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been taking heat for this, but I think he's the best defenseman ever.
I know you do.
Yeah. Just pure size, dominance, physicality, nasty. The total package.
Five tool.
There's been more, skilled or more like offensive-minded, quieter guys, clearly, but just
there was no game state where his coach wasn't like, he's the guy I want on the ice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In all scenarios.
Till he steps on your head and misses the next eight games.
Yeah. That's just a cost of doing business.
Funny, just looking at his trades and, on July 27th, 1995, how about that for a hockey trade? Traded from Hartford to the Blues for Brandon Shanahan. One for one.
No losers in that trade, I guess.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that. Didn't know that.
As much as you marvel at Brendan Shanahan's career and the goals and the toughness, you have to value defense above a forward.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Pronger and Shanahan. I'm talking in general.
Yeah.
That when you get a top guy that can munch minutes like that and control pace of play when he's out there, they're way more valuable than a forward.
And I think if you believe that D is more valuable than forwards, looking at Sweden's team tonight, Hedman Brodin, Forsling Dahlin, Mattias Ekholm, Erik Karlsson. Are there three pairs?
Yeah.
Better than Canada's D, maybe?
Without,
no.
You know, the automatic minus two for Carlson.
I gotta think
that Canada should be a little weary of guys that could shut down an offense.
Taves McCarr, Theodore Doughty, Morrissey, Parayko. I agree. It's the one thing, you know.
That Ekholm is a hell of a player.
Yeah. No, he's great. And I think going into this for Canada, and you play out what the worst case scenario looks like, it's that their D are very good defensively. Forsling's another smothering type D, and Canada can't get it going. All of a sudden, Willie Nylander's behind your D, shooting it past Bennington because Willie can shoot it, and he gets breakaways. Book the Willie Nylander breakaway tonight, by the way. That is happening.
I woke up today feeling really nervous. Really? And it's not about the massive snowstorm that we're having in Toronto where people outside of Toronto are like, oh, call in the army. It's a big call in the army joke day for people outside of Toronto. Yeah. But I am feeling like Leaf playoff game butterflies for this tonight because it's such a short tournament. There's zero pressure on Sweden. This isn't about Sweden or Finland, this tournament. This is about America and Canada. Yeah.
Gustafsson can have a blast in that.
Even more so, it's about Canada than it is about even the USA. Like, I think it's having all these guys together, and they're marketing it as Matthews versus McDavid and all that stuff, but there's all the pressure on Canada. Mm-hmm. Going into against a very good Sweden team, like you said, no pressure, none of these guys have played together. You lose one, turn Saturday into a must-win. Like, the stakes for this are automatic. And I hear Chris Pronger talk about that, and there's still people in my life that are like, why do you care? Like, why do you care? It's Canada's best guys versus America, Sweden. Like, I can't imagine not caring. I can't imagine it.
Who's on the show before us?
Show Ali.
So Show, you know, the last thing I caught him in my ear, you know, signing off.
Yes.
And the last thing he mentioned was, how hard will they play?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And that's been a narrative for the last little while here. And I'm just starting to think it's kind of unfair to the players. I do think that it's a little unfair, and maybe they've just been set up by that stupid 3-on-3 all-star the last few years. Like that tournament's really set up people to go, okay, what are we going to see here now? And it's like that never happened to Chris Pronger. Nobody ever questioned Chris Pronger or anything prior to even 2016. That, how hard are they going to play, or do they really care? It's like, where's that narrative? Where was that narrative like born? Where was it? Where was that seed planted? Was it 3-on-3 all stars?
Let me give you Charlie McAvoy. He says, I heard about that this morning, and I try not to be unsocial, but when someone said that to me, they said it's going to be a glorified all-star game. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I really, truly couldn't believe it. There's not one person here at this event that wouldn't do anything to win this tournament, and I think that's shared amongst everybody.
Yeah, that's convincing.
USA.
You can go from generation to generation, and you can compare and what you liked, what you didn't like, but the one thing that I think it truly stays consistent is the competitiveness of you to get to this level in any era.
Well said, yeah.
And it's still there. Now you got 32 teams, and there's some nights it doesn't look great, and you can pick it apart, which we often do. I mean, we got nothing better to do.
Can't give 82 great efforts.
Exactly. But there is there's a burn in these guys to hit this level that it's not a switch on and off. And I keep telling people this story of me and Mike Liut on a commercial flight when I broke into the league, and we're playing cribbage on a commercial flight, and I missed a peg, and the guy punched me. Punched me.
Cribbage can get pretty intense.
There had to be some layers between the missed peg and the punch.
There was a few, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
He'd accuse me of, like, you know, looking at his cards, which is like, I'm in 1A, or he's in 1A, I'm in, like, 1B.
Yeah.
Like,
it's tough not to catch a
tough
glance.
Not. Yeah. We're not sitting at a nice table here, but my point of it is, yeah, I didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
And we're playing cribbage.
Yeah.
And that's the nature. And I don't think that they would ever, ever even contemplate or messing with that history of competitiveness.
To this point is a perfect segue into the clip I cut from Marchand today, and it has a lot of what you said there. Let's go to Marchand clip one on the pride and planning in this journey.
It's incredible. It's something that I think we've always really enjoyed. The fans enjoyed it. As a player, we're still fans. We enjoy we really love watching it. Really love being part of it. And it's such an honor. It's the highest achievement you can achieve personally as a hockey player to be part of one of these teams. Obviously, you know, taking out the Stanley Cup and stuff like that. But it's another level of making it to the NHL. There's a tremendous amount of pride that goes with it. And guys really look forward to it. And they've spent their entire lives working to get this level and then, you know, working to get to another level. And that's where you play. So to be able to know that we have this, we have the Olympics, another World Cup coming, and it's going to go on after that. It'll be great for the game.
And I also think, Kip, that like these guys are not often going to get to be teammates together, but they're going to play in golf tournaments as alumni when they're retired, whatever. And there's going to be a lot of, hey, we got four games together when we were, you know, 30 years old or whatever. Remember those games? You make that impression as a teammate on someone in the short window. Guys aren't going to go embarrass themselves.
No.
Be like, oh, yeah, remember we took that one guy and he dogged it?
Yeah.
You know, like that. No one's doing that.
And everybody's got their own individual story that doesn't, like, reflect team. And Brad Marchand is in his late 30s. He's been used to a very successful program in Boston. He's the captain. He's got a team now that may miss the playoffs. He wants to retire a Bruin, but to what degree will you get a contract or commit to a contract that maybe not be quite the reflection that you would have hoped? So where's his motivation to look good in this tournament?
No shortage of it.
And everybody's kind of got a little bit of that some way, somehow, whether it's Sam Bennett, who unfortunately is a healthy scratch tonight, or Mitch Marner, who's got to prove that to Sammy and every other naysayer that, you know, you can show up at a pretty big game. Mm-hmm. Sidney Crosby, like, Sid's going to be a babysitter for the Pittsburgh Penguins for the next 2 years.
Yeah, he gets to play four meaningful games over the next year.
He's never going to play another playoff game again if he stays in Pittsburgh.
So, like, you know, what's driving him to have a good tournament?
Yeah.
There's
love of the game.
Number of those internal pressure points for these guys to perform.
When Chris Pronger comes on Real Kipper and Bourne and literally scoffs at the fact that these guys won't take it serious, that's all you need
to
know.
Time to move on from that.
Game time? It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So the Canada and Sweden tonight. Canada is a pretty heavy favorite. They are -260 on the money line. Sweden is +210. The total in the game is 6. Over that is -120. Under that is +100.
Like, the Sweden bet's the better bet.
I was going to say that there is some excellent value on Sweden at +210.
+210.
Jeez. A lot of good players.
Is that equivalent to a Vegas versus San Jose or Chicago?
No, well, that'd be a bigger line. That'd be a bigger line. That'd be that'd be like Montreal versus, I don't know. No, you're right. It's around there.
Okay.
I couldn't think of something, so I agreed. A couple of the goal scores I like tonight. I do like a Willie Nylander goal. I feel like he's going to get a breakaway tonight. And you could even convince me on him scoring the first goal tonight just to kind of stick it to Leaf fans. Not just for that reason, but, you know, Leaf fans watching this. +1,400 as William Nylander is the first goal scorer in the game tonight. And I also like a Sam Reinhart anytime goal, potentially on the power play, +145 tonight.
The one thing I will say just about, you know, the odds of Sweden winning tonight. This year, I don't have it all in front of me. I wrote it down before. But Chicago, the Blackhawks, like worst team in the NHL, Blackhawks, have beat Colorado, Washington, Toronto, Vegas, Dallas, Edmonton. Mm-hmm. You know, bad teams can beat good teams. It's hockey. So,
it's hockey.
Man, hold on to your butts.
Can't wait, boys. Let's go. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, as a reminder, this hour Real Kipper brought to you by Bet365. When we return, Chris Cuthbert called the golden goal in Vancouver. Does he have another one? 2025, as he is our play-by-play man in Montreal calling Four Nations face-off. Chris, CC, next after the break.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A reminder that this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. All right. Play-by-play man tonight, Montreal, to call all the action tonight. Chris Cuthbert joins us now. CC, how are you, man?
I'm well. I hope you can hear me. They're rehearsing the opening ceremony here, so it's a little bit of a buzz behind me, but good to be with you guys.
That's okay. A buzz is good. Any type of energy that we get through you, it sets up our night here. So just your thoughts since arriving in Montreal and the feel and the build-up towards puck drop at 8 p.m. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think everybody is here. I think this is going to be a legit where all the teams are going for gold. This is not an all-star game. There's no costumes here, and you can tell there's a buzz amongst the Canadian players. Nobody wears it more than Drew Doughty. I mean, he has been the poster boy for being excited to be involved in international hockey again, and for the young guys, it's so long overdue that we can't wait.
Chris, where does this fall, or these sort of events fall on the really fun for you and also really challenging for you scale? I imagine new teams with different line combinations has to be hard, but at the same time, this must be really exciting.
Well, this is fun. Hard is when you're getting ready for the 2018 or 2022 Olympic Games and you're trying to figure out the Chinese or the Korean lineup.
Fair.
These guys, we know everybody here, and again, it's going to be special. And I thought there was something very interesting from Sam Hallam, the coach of Sweden today, who reflected back on 2016 and said that Team North America changed the way the game is played. And here we are, 9 years later, we've been waiting for the evolution of the game to continue on. But he really made a point today that Sweden might have, in the past, tried to shut this thing down and made a 1-0, 2-1 game. But since Team North America in 2016, now everybody's trying to play the right way and trying to play, high-octane hockey.
You know, in saying that, and we just did the odds, and, Sweden's kind of looking like maybe San Jose against Vegas a little bit to odds makers. But you think they come in feeling like everything to gain and nothing to lose? You look at, Pettersson in Vancouver not having a great season, Zibanejad not having a great season. But these guys can be very dangerous, in a 60-minute hockey game at any point.
Of being underdogs and a team that can play the spoiler role. I think Sweden's capable of that here. How about you mentioned the two guys that really could get a whole new lease on life here for sure. The down the middle, Zibanejad and Pettersson. But how about that blue line? It has almost 5,000 games of experience. And I know Victor Hedman said yesterday, we're playing Canada in Montreal. We're playing the USA in Boston, and we can't wait. So, I think they've embraced it. And I don't think this is gimme here. And I've always had this theory about international hockey and Team Canada. We always do better when we struggle early. But you don't have a whole lot of time to struggle early in this setup.
CC, we were talking about the golden goal. You got to call that game. Would you call that career highlight, career pinnacle? Where does that rank in your career games called?
I've always said that if there's something better than that coming, I can't wait. whether or not that happens, I'm not sure. And it probably doesn't happen here, but you know what? Let's keep an open mind. If Connor McDavid goes end-to-end in double overtime to beat Team USA, I'll take it. But I think what everybody's anxious about here is sizing it you know, four of the teams before the Olympic Games next year.
Gee, you went to McDavid. I'm sitting there going, you're there. Crosby's there. Why not just do a repeat? So
I'm good on that. I'm good. And Nathan McKinnon's probably saying, hey, wait a minute. I'm in line for that. So
where is Crosby in your estimation here? Because we've seen him still today with the Pittsburgh Penguins at a very high level. Yet he comes in now with the thought that maybe his best years in Pittsburgh are behind him. Where do you see him, especially coming off a recent injury, to pick up tonight?
He's the leader, and there's no question when you're here, you can see that he's the leader. And Downey's playing that role as well in a different way. But I think Sid's still a very important guy who's got a lot of great hockey left in him. And, hey, you know, if he can't be Sidney Crosby, I don't think he can stay on a line with Nathan McKinnon in this tournament. But I fully expect him to be one of Canada's best players. And it's funny that I think there was a concern even 2 days ago. Can he play in the tournament? Will he be ready even by Saturday? But it's all systems go, which is pretty exciting.
CC, you feel like Binnington could get the job done for Canadians? It's you know, maybe not what it used to be, but he's had some success.
That is the big question. You know, we did the Leaf game in St. Louis about 2 weeks before they named the team, and Don Sweeney was in the building, and I chatted with him, and of course we're talking about his pedigree, and Sweeney kind of abruptly interrupted me and said, I don't need to be reminded of what Jordan Binnington did in the Stanley Cup final, because of course right. He did it against Boston. But that night, Binnington made 40 stops against the Leafs. I think it was 40 of 41. Colton Breakout also scored two goals in that game, and he's on the team too. But I got the impression both games Binnington played against Toronto, I think he used those games as a bit of a showcase, and he was exceptional in both. And I think it's a big reason he's their guy.
Any talk at all or anybody questioning Sweden going to Gustafsson over Allmark, or is it basically Allmark didn't have enough time to get ready to start?
You know, their coach did say that if he was picking the team in September, it's obvious Allmark was the starter, but they weren't even sure a week ago if Allmark was still going to be able to play in the tournament. So it is Gustafsson, and funny because the late ad was Samuel Harrison, who might be the hottest of any of the goaltenders involved in tonight's game, but he's not even going to dress.
All right, pal, listen, we know you got a big night ahead of you. We can't wait to kick it up. Grab a couple of cold ones and listen to you and Simmer, man. Thanks for doing this.
Have one or two for us, too.
Yep, you
thanks,
bet.
Thanks, CC. Appreciate it.
That is cheers. Chris Cuthbert, Hockey Night in Canada, play-by-play man in Montreal, getting ready. A little over 2 hours to puck drop.
I'm nervous. There's reports now that Bettman and Walsh are going to have a press conference at 6:15, basically to announce an international play schedule. There's going to be international play pretty much every 2 years. World Cup, Olympics, World Cup, Olympics. Is that news or no?
Well, no, because that's what they laid out for us a while back.
Yeah.
I'm just not completely sold on shutting down the NHL.
Every 2 years.
Like, think about that. It's a big commitment, man.
Totally disagree. They do it in soccer like multiple times. They commit to it being important, and it's important. And we've just never had it.
I do think globally the game has suffered from not having something.
And, you know,
you can't ever compare soccer to hockey.
No, they're not the
ever.
Same. But I think you can compare the idea that people do things in season.
Why would you try to do something that the most popular sport in the world does? That's a terrible idea.
Because we'll never get that level. We'll never get that level.
There's a lot of Canadian hockey fans that would be, you know, I guess they'd be 8 years old that have never seen like this. Like, there's people that are in their early 20s that barely remember any best on best. Like,
it just occurred to me, my son would not have been alive for anything.
You've lost a complete era, and now they're making a commitment to it. I can't say anything but great things.
I think it's just, if you're going to do it, you have to do it right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether or not they truly have the vision to make this a real World Cup. Mm-hmm. It's not a World Cup. World Cup is a series of events that
to qualify.
Yeah. We are invitational. Mm-hmm. We are having an invitational tournament where they pick and choose who they want to come. That's not a real World Cup.
You know, though.
It's kid. Not.
No, okay, that's
it's
fine.
Not.
It's fine.
It's not a real World Cup.
It's not a World Cup. Fine.
Okay.
But we know which countries have the best hockey teams, roughly. Mm-hmm. We get the best of the best from those countries. They're there.
That's not good enough. We had the best on best in 1976. We had it in 81. And we haven't moved the needle one iota. We're still back to 76 and 81. Invite six same teams, same players, same country. The needle hasn't moved at all. You want real growth in World Cup? You don't go to Canada and say, we want to grow more. You don't go to the U.S. You go to Germany. You go to other places. Mm. You go back to China. And you build it there. And you put money in there, big money, to develop their programs. You help them. You build rinks. You do this. You do that. And then you see in 25 years if you got a real growth as a World Cup. Until then, all you have is the same tournament you had 40 years ago.
Yeah. But
it's good enough for you.
It's good enough
for you because you're Canada. You don't care.
But it's good enough for all the big teams that are going to play.
You get your cheerleader pom-poms on and you go. It's not growth.
Okay.
It's not growth.
I will say it's not growth, but it is entertainment. And that's the business that the NHL is in. And that's something that matters to hockey fans. And we have been denied something wonderful. And we're getting to have it here, and they're going to get to have it back, and that's a good thing. Hockey fans deserve something good. That is, the salary cap doesn't fit. This team's too good. Trade your players. This is good.
So would you prefer just the every four-year Olympics, that's it? That's what you want?
I want to see, like, the owners step up and build an international department that full-timers, that your job for the NHL,
they should
international hockey.
Yes.
Not part-timers.
Well, and so this is the case kind of against what you're saying, where it's like, yeah, you don't want to break up the NHL season or whatever. And it's like, because it might come at the cost of the owners' pocketbooks. Like, who cares? Like, fans don't. Globally, they don't.
We're still dipping our toe in it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there sounds like we weren't dipping our toe in. We were desert dry. So at least they can get the toe in here, get up to the knee. Let's see, wade into the water a little bit. Let's see if we can't do better.
I'll agree with that.
I think every 2 years is a totally reasonable time to play.
I think every 4 years you miss some peaks of guys that are special.
For sure. Every 2 years is, I mean, I have to give Marty Walsh a ton of credit here because
Marty Walsh rules.
I don't know who it was before. I forget off the top of my head, but there's always this issue with no best on best, and COVID killed them clearly when they were going to go to the Olympics and it didn't happen. And that was supposed to happen. But Marty Walsh has just come in here and just been like, yeah, cap's going up. We got a best on best. We're getting hockey tournaments. It's just like all the things that hockey fans have asked for.
That was going to happen even if Marty didn't join the NHLPA.
Timing's been good for sure, but.
So you think like
everything he's done from day one has been a productive, moving everything in a positive direction.
Everything he said since he came in was exactly what most hockey fans wanted to hear.
Yeah,
they've delivered.
I don't know the man. I've never met him before. Yeah. It seems like everybody's positive. It's moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not gonna decide anything on Marty Walsh's contributions until we see a couple years here where it's like real growth here.
Mm-hmm. So, 2028 World Cup. Let's say it's eight teams. Can you got eight teams that you can come up with? Canada, USA, Sweden, Finland, Russia,
the growth Czechia. Has to be in Germany. That is the engine. That is the financial engine over on the other side.
They got a pretty good team.
Okay.
They got
You have to grow the program there. It's kind of non-existent still.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, you got Dreisaitl, Sider, and who?
But, okay, if he's the seed you plant on, then use him. Mm-hmm. And have him be the face of hockey there to grow the next 10, 15 years.
We get him playing hockey over in London or what?
But
get England involved here?
That to me is moving a needle. Yeah. You can start selling hockey in Germany.
That sounds good to me.
So they'll be, I mean, they'll be in the next Olympics, I would imagine. I don't pretend to know what the qualifying thing is. But so you'll see Draisaitl in the Olympics in a year, and he can score his one goal when they lose 8-1, and everybody will be happy.
Here's Czechia. Here's
okay. So where are we? We're constantly reminded, including CC just moments ago, this is a very short tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Binnington's the guy in net.
Yep. Mm-hmm. For now.
And, well, if he's not forever in this tournament, then Canada's in real big trouble. The only way he comes out is if he loses tonight.
Yeah, I mean, can you go 2-1 and get in the final? I think someone will, presumably. And so unless it's 3-0, 3-0, 0-3, 0-3. It'll be interesting to see if Canada has a tough game. You know, hearing Pronger saying they lost both the years they won the Olympics somewhere along the way. It's not, things don't just snap together. You know, it's never clean, but.
Yeah, they lost to Sweden in 2002. They lost to Sweden. And then in the medal round, they didn't have to play Sweden.
Sweden lost to Belarus, right?
Yeah, some guy fired it in from center ice. It went off Tommy Salo's bean and into the back of the net. They didn't have to play them. So
I remember that one.
They got that bye into the final, which was, in my opinion, my favorite hockey moment ever was them winning the 2002 Olympics. So, yeah, I think you definitely have to guard against a little bit of cagey not playing together with guys. I think you have to lean on the chemistry within some of it. It's just going to be so fascinating to see it.
There's no chance Canada wins the, some people are, there's an, Michael Tracos wrote an article about what they should name the Four Nations trophy, and suggestion he liked was the Johnny Hockey trophy. His dad's on the ice for USA. He would have been a part of it, you know, kind of a recent relevant guy.
Is this
name it after
a one-off? Because there's not going to be another Four Nations. Do you go to, is it called Six Nations next one or eight?
Like, maybe it's the same trophy for the World Cup. Maybe it becomes,
and then you change the name of it?
Maybe it's a one-off. Maybe it is, and it's the Johnny Hockey one-off, and see who gets to have it.
I saw someone say the Quad, which is a good name for the trophy, too.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, my point is, in the final, if Canada is to win it, mm-hmm. I very much doubt their lines look the same as they do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it seems like you'll have to have some learning experiences along the way, see who works, see who doesn't work. Likely to be some shuffling, and it sounds like Cooper will have a pretty quick trigger on that, so.
No Cooper.
Ah, we could listen to one.
Let's have a Cooper
Kipper's
Clipper.
Cooper.
Clip one. Message to
Cooper,
his team
Clipper.
Tonight.
But I think your job as a coach is not to get in the way. Put the players in the best position to succeed. Give them the information that's needed. But don't go get in their way and don't cloud the mind of the best players in the world. And that's it. And then, you know, when decisions have to be made, be assertive and do it. And but you really ultimately got to let the guys play. And you know, as for walking in the locker room, it's kind of been the best part of everything, is just sitting around and whatever three or four guys are sitting in there and kind of hot stoving it with them, and you leave and then there's another group, and it's been a ton of fun. But they all are really focused and have a common goal, and that's to win tonight. And like I said, for me, not to get in the way.
Until he sees Nick Paul doing an interview, he says, Nick! And then he gets in the way.
Has Cooper been named the Olympic coach as well? Do we know if that's...
I think so. I don't know, but I would imagine.
Do you think there's a world where they lose two games here, don't make the final, and they're like, nope, new coach for the Olympics?
I don't know if they've officially gone that far.
Berube for 2025 Olympics. Dump it in, boys!
It's not personal.
Get on the forecheck! North-south!
Wow! That was a fun show today.
That was
quick.
That
was quick.
But it was a great one. Chris Pronger, our thanks to the Hockey Hall of Famer and one of the best. And Chris Cuthbert, also one of the best when it comes to the voice of international hockey, starting once again tonight.
Please win.
Canada versus Sweden, 8 p.m. Find your Sportsnet platform, sit back, enjoy the game, and we're back here tomorrow to talk Four Nations, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy it.